So you see, we just don't play games all the time. These kids are powerful. They know that God is inside of them, and we do some great things in there. All your kids are amazing, and we love them. So I'm going to turn this over to my better half because she's going to explain a little bit about what Powerhouse does so some of you guys can understand what we do and why we do things. So this is my much better half that I married way out of my league for. Okay.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to make this brief because he's got like a 2-hour PowerPoint and I don't want y'all stuck here all day. So this month in Kids Church, we are talking about legacy and what the legacy that God left in New Testament church is the Holy Spirit. So we are spending 5 weeks just immersed in Holy Spirit teaching back there. Each week, the kids are learning about how the disciples began the New Testament church after Jesus ascended into heaven. And it got me thinking about what is my legacy. And I want y'all to ask yourselves, what's your legacy? What legacy are you leaving? And Webster's definition of legacy is that it is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or a predecessor. Maya Angelou said that your legacy is every life that you've touched. And that's how I want to look at it, is when I'm done on this earth, what am I going to be remembered by? I don't want to be remembered by the job that I did at work. I don't want to be remembered by the house that I owned or anything like that. I want people to remember how I touched them. So what does scripture say about legacy? In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." And then Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart from it." And parents of teenagers, I promise you, even when your kids are going crazy, they're going to come back to it. They're going to know who they are in Christ because of what y'all have put into them. So it's a little piece of advice because I've got a kid that I'm believing that with. So we're walking that out with her too. So in our job as leaders in Powerhouse Kids, not just mine and Jeremy's, but the adult volunteers that we have in there, our job first and foremost is to show up for your kids. Our purpose is to show up and teach your kids about who they are in Jesus and what they were created to do and to love like Jesus did, because we can have them memorize Bible verses every week, every month, but if we don't show them how to love like Jesus instructed us to, then we failed. And then we have to lead by example. If we want the kids to love like Jesus and live like Jesus and do even greater works than he did, then we have to lead them to that. And our legacy goes beyond the message that we teach on Sundays and Wednesdays. We have your kids for 104 hours a year. 104 hours. That's it. So the big legacy that your kids are going to be walking out is one that y'all have them at, give them at home. If we're not showing them to live in love like Jesus, then the legacy is going to stop with us. It's going to stop with us too. It's going to stop with y'all. So, yeah, that's 104 hours. Like when I was doing the math, I'm like, that's not really a lot. It's not. Yeah, it's Common Core math. Okay. And I don't want anybody to raise hands, but just think about this. How many of you have actually seen a miracle happen in front of your eyes? If you have a kid that was in kids' church about a month ago, your kid saw one. They laid hands on a friend. They prayed for a friend, and she was walking into service with crutches and ran out of church without those crutches at the end of service. She hadn't been back on those crutches. So she's completely healed. So we've had kids receive salvation and get filled with the Holy Spirit back in kids' church. We've led them to pursue baptism. They're back there praying for each other. They're laying hands on each other. And they know that they can do greater things than Jesus did because that's what he told us in the Word. So it's not just memorizing scripture and playing games and eating hot dogs on Wednesday nights. they know that faith is an action, and we're teaching them how to walk that out. So, and we're preparing them, because once they leave kids' church, they go into MOVE, and they've got to have that foundation of who they are in Christ so that Matt and Allison can get them to that next level. So, oh, I feel like I'm like flying through this. Big people intimidate me. All right, so what do we teach in Powerhouse Kids? So overall, Powerhouse Kids is a ministry of Christian Church at Minden. So the overall goal is, by the time we get ready to promote the kids to youth ministry, we want them to know and understand the power, that the power of God resides in them, and that they have all the authority that Jesus did to use it. So that starts in the babies class with creation, i.e. the nursery. And our goal in that is to teach the babies and toddlers that God created them and that he loves them. So when you drop your babies off and your toddlers off in nursery, we're loving on them. We're telling them God loves them. We're speaking scripture over them. We're speaking into them. We're hugging on them. So they know that God is in them and that he loves them. By the time they get to boot camp, which is our preschool, it's Bible boot camp, we're equipping them with the knowledge of who God is and what he's done for them. So we're making God real at that point. And then elementary, we have it broken up into two age groups. So kindergarten through second grade, we're teaching the kids that they're never too young to be used by God for his kingdom's work. Because they're not. I've seen a first grader pull a kid over to the side and pray for them. And that's not something I would have been comfortable doing growing up, but that's what they're learning back there. And then third through fifth grade is we're preparing the kids with the knowledge of who they are in Christ and encourage the boldness to share the gospel. Because once they go into sixth grade and go to middle school, they are facing stuff that we have to equip them for, to know who they are, because their identities are going to try to be shifted by who they're around at school. So we have to make sure that they're equipped and know who they are first and foremost in Jesus before they go into sixth grade. So that's all I got.
Okay, so I know some of the slides were hard to see. We have associated colors with each kid. God gave us a really strong vision for Kids Church. And if you're ever interested, each of those signs out, well, creation, because I got to get a new picture frame, but each of those signs are outside the doors. So when a parent comes to drop off their kid, they know where we stand. They know what we preach for God. And it's really important to have that vision so our children don't perish. Okay? All right. Now we're gonna kind of get rolling here, okay? Not even gonna get to my notes. That's my Paulism, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. So I had to do that for Jessica. I apologize. Sorry, Paul. Not really. So we did a six-week series, I think late last year. God really put it strong on my heart about identity, right? Your identity is huge. So we did a six-week series that I'm gonna run you guys through right now. It's going to be amazing. So it's called Identity, right? Roll the slide. So what is the definition of identity? We always bring a definition to the kids because we are in the Y generation. So why? Well, because this is why. This is what identity means. The fact of being who or what a person is. Who are you? What do you stand for? Right? That. So we bring that to the kids. So who gave you your name? Jacob, who gave you your name? Did he? Who gave you your name?
My mom.
You sure? No. Did she do it right? Did she pray to God and say, what am I supposed to name this child? I don't know. So, but your names can change, right? Some names have meanings. Some names can change. Is there a name in the Bible that changed? Whose name in the Bible got changed, Esther? Mine? No. Okay. Corey, whose name in the Bible was changed by Jesus? Okay. Who was it?
Abraham.
And what was it changed to?
I saw Miss Christine.
Oh, you cheated. There's no cheating in God. You can always look around for answers. It's hard getting put on the spot. So Miss Angel told me to preach today like I teach to the kids, and this is what we do to the kids. I call people out. I make them feel uncomfortable, and then Kristen yells at me. Right? She does too yell at, well, you don't see what happens at the house. Okay, she yells. She yells a lot. She's like, you didn't do the dishes. I'm like, okay. So we don't know if our parents did the right thing by giving us our name, if they really reached out to God. Some of our parents did, some of our parents didn't. It doesn't matter. Your name can be changed. The name doesn't mean anything really in life. I'm Susan, or I'm Billy, or I'm a man named Sue. I don't care. Right? It's just what I'm calling you. But who gives us our identity? Who gives us...
Jesus.
The normal answer, their identity. Now, Kristen talked a lot about that, right? Our legacy. Our legacy is associated with our identity. What do you stand for? Who are you? Right? God gives us our identity if we choose to follow God. Now, how many of us make mistakes and leave our identity? Right? That's why we have the grace of God upon us that's abundant. And I don't know what I would do without the grace of God. I sure would be married. Tell you that much, because I'm an idiot. Facts. Thanks, Jessica. You go, girl. So, where do we get our identity from in God? Good question. Right? I kind of started this series off with proclamations. You want your children always to talk about who they are, not be ashamed of Christ, not be ashamed to say, I am, which is on the back wall. What's the significance of I am? Mr. John, when was the first time I am was used in the Bible? Do you remember? You were there. I'm just kidding. You're not that old. I love you. I'm just kidding. The first time I am was used in the Bible was with Moses and the burning bush. It was God's way to telling Moses, that's who I am. I am. There's power in those words. Another time that it was used in the Bible was when Jesus was getting apprehended by the Webster Parish Sheriff's Department. Right? He was getting apprehended, and the soldiers were coming. A lot of people were coming, and he says, I am. And they fell down. There's power in I am. There's a reason why it's on the back wall. And then once we get through slide 38, you'll really understand the I am, right? You guys are laughing. I'm not joking. I'm just kidding. I think there's only like 18, but there's significance in them. We'll go through them quick. I'm not even getting to my notes. I don't know. So who gives us our identity? God, right? And I am. Sorry if I repeat myself a lot. This is how we teach the kids, because we have to repeat ourselves. So one of our baseline scriptures, of our starting point of where we are. Next slide, please. It comes out of John 1:12. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. I don't care if you're as old as Tom or as young as the fresh baby in there. You're still a child of God. You are one of his children. And you should come to him like a child. Father, I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't clean my room today. Can you please forgive me? I bless Jessica because she has to deal with me. Thank you, Lord. You just come to him like a child. There should be no right, wrong way or indifferent to go to God other than thank you, Father. I love you, God. I made a mistake. I'll take my tongue lashing, whatever. But for your grace, I am healed. I am saved. Thank you, God. So all he asks you to do is believe in him. Believe in him. Oh, my God. That's so easy. We believe Facebook. Like, that's true. Right? All right. So let's get into this. Next slide, please. I presented it like this to the kids because it's a tangible thing that they can see. It's something they can bring home. And then I even did a mirror talk that the kids were supposed to take home, put it on their bathroom mirror, splatter with toothpaste, because that's what kids do. And say it every morning. And the first one is, we always start off with, I am a child of God. Right? Jeremiah 1:5, one of our scriptures for kids' church. It's, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I blessed you. I anointed you a prophet of the nation. Oh my God. Like, our God is telling us that he's already blessed us, and we don't even know it yet. And he called me a prophet. What is a prophet? It's someone that goes out and just preaches the good news. That's it. Just preach what the Bible tells you to preach. You just got to do that one simple thing. Just, hey, God loves you. That's it. And he's already blessed you. The babies back there are so blessed. It's. I don't know. But I love this scripture, because before he formed us in the womb, and people get caught up on this, well, how do they even know you? Because he's God. He's God. He has a plan for you. Just because we don't follow it all the time, right? He's still got our plan. And it goes. It goes. But we'll figure it out. So next one, please. The next one we roll into is the most powerful one to me, is I am a believer. I am a believer. If we looked at the original scriptures, you just had to believe in him and trust him, right? Galatians 2:20 says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is lived by believing in God's Son, who loves me and took the punishment for my sin. All you got to do is believe in God. That's it. And then proclaim that you are a believer. And stand up strong and not be ashamed of God. Even though the world is going to tell you you're stupid, you're ugly, you're crazy, God's not cool. He is to me. He's the coolest person I know. Why? Because he loves us. Period. Dot. End of story. All your imperfections, he loves you just because you believe. And he sent his son to die for our punishments. So Jesus died because I didn't clean my room. That's right. That's not really a sin not to clean your room, but it is to disobey your parents, right? Yeah. So that's where I'm going with that. Sorry if I'm teaching you guys like children, but we all need to have this sometimes. So I am a believer. Once again, we initiate with I am. It's a proclamation of who I am in Christ. Next slide, please. I am loved. How many of us ever felt lost, like just down? Like, nobody loves me. My dad hates me, made me clean my room, whatever. This is really how I preach to the kids, by the way, right? Ask Kristen. I usually slap tables and stuff and flip stuff and throw kids at them. Just whatever. I just do whatever because it gets them going, right? Yeah, you just got to do what you got to do, right? You just got to. So I am loved. John 3:16, just your standard scripture. It's not really a standard scripture. I shouldn't say that, but just the quintessential scripture. How many of us would give up our children for another person? Amen. I'm just kidding. I would never give up my kids for somebody else. How many of us would sacrifice our child for other people? I mean, we encourage our children to go out and be the best that they can be, you know, to go utilize their gifts for God, you know. But I don't think I'd ever see my child. Like, I don't know if I could ever sit at the footsteps of my child on a cross. I'm not saying God did, but think about Mary. My goodness. But what, if we look at the bigger picture, what he did for us, that's love. Like, God wants us in his will. We no longer have to sacrifice cats, even though I still do. I'm just kidding. I don't sacrifice cats, right? We don't no longer have to go to somebody and say, hey, chief priest, can you sacrifice this? Here's all the sins that I had for this month, right? Can you go sacrifice this? No, because the veil has been torn and we get to go to the Father directly and ask for forgiveness. Why? Because he loves us. He is my Father. He loves me and only me. Maybe Miss Dorothy. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But he loves each and every one of you, even when you don't show him love. He loves you. Next slide, please. I am chosen. We are a chosen generation. And you could always say every generation is chosen. You're absolutely right. Every generation has been chosen. But what they do, what they choose to do, will leave their mark on society. So 1 Peter 2:9 says, however, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who belong to God. You are chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One thing I preached with the kids, I don't know if you've all saw the Powerhouse Kids room, but we're very colorful. I'm a very colorful person. I love color, right? I don't like beige. Our signs. There's a reason there's a color coordination to each class. There's a reason that Game Changers is purple. They are now stepping up, right? And I say, does anybody know what the color purple signifies? Royalty, right? We are a royal priesthood, which means you are a royal person. You have royal blood in your veins. Why? Because he loved you. Because you're a chosen generation. It's what you do with that is up to you. The second greatest gift God gave us was free choice. First gift is Jesus. Second gift is the choice to do what you want to do and how you follow your road. And it says we're a holy nation. We've been told that for a long time. Many nations are holy, just not America. Many nations are holy, right? If you follow God, he's called you to be a holy nation, which means get out there and preach about Jesus. Save the lost. Help the sick. Feed the hungry. And just tell them about the excellent qualities of God. What are some excellent qualities of God, Miss Ginger? Wrong answer. I'm just kidding. That's what I tell you to kids.
His nature is good.
Like Mother Nature? Like the trees? His I mean, nature, trees like are good.
Is. Like who he is, his nature, his identity, who he is.
Good. That's good. That's good. What does Facebook say about the nature of God?
It says it's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. God is good. His qualities, his excellent qualities of just being a heavenly father, a loving father, a forgiving father, a merciful father. That's the excellent qualities we have to talk to him about. When we make mistakes and we stumble, he's right there to pick us back up, dust off our little tushes, and press us back on the path, right? That's it. Next slide, please. A lot of these are derived around children going to school. That's where God gave me this message, because a lot of these kids, when they go to school, are told you're stupid, you're weak, you're ugly, you're nobody. So you can kind of see a pattern here of why God gave me this message for the kids. I am strong. Once again, I am strong. Philippians 4:13. Once again, one of the scriptures that is heavily used. Why? Because it's good. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. When we are weak, he is strong. We continuously say, when we all have our weak moments, not only is God with us, but our church family is with us. Fellow Christians are with us. When you're weak, let me come pick you up with my strength in Christ. That's what I tell the kids. Find somebody on the playground who doesn't have a friend. Go sit with them and say, hey, I love you. God loves you. I'm just the creepy kid who loves God, but I love God. I don't care. Go pray for that kid. Get out there and have fun. But you're strong. When someone tells you you're weak, like, I don't think so, bro. I mean, I've seen some miracles happen with God. End of story. Right? Huh? Period, point, blank. From Ethan, yes, right? I am strong. Does anybody remember the video that we did about 6 months ago? We did the video with the kids. It's power in proclaiming things. Next slide, please. Miss Marvely, you're doing an amazing job. I love you. I am smart. Jessica may beg to differ on this one, but I am smart. In my own way. I will say, Morgan, no ma'am. So 1 Corinthians 2:6, Now this one, I did a little bit more studying on this because the scripture doesn't really read right. I really encourage you to go back and read 1 Corinthians 2. It's only 16 verses. Took me about 30 minutes to get through 16 verses. It's about 12 words. Okay? You think I'm joking. There's not a pop-up Bible, okay? I need a pop-up book. Like, whoa, look at Adam and Eve, tree, bad fruit, right? So 1 Corinthians 2:16 basically tells us that we can't teach God anything. We can't. He knows all. We don't know His ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He has a perfect plan and will for everybody's life. But we do have the mind of Christ. He has given us wisdom. In that verse, 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, right? When you accept that Holy Spirit into your life, you gain wisdom in Christ that you can utilize in your everyday life. That's the wisdom that we're talking about, that we can't teach God because God gave it to us. But when someone tells you you're stupid or you're not smart or something like that, no, I'm sorry. I have the mind of Christ. This test don't have nothing on me. Common core math ain't got nothing on me. You know, my teacher can't tell me that I'm going to fail this test because I'm going to pass it. Even if it's not open book, it's my open book is here because it's there. It's there. We just have to get our kids to believe it's there because it is and unlock that truth. Right? So I encourage you to go back and read 1 Corinthians 2. Okay. Whew. Okay. I'm getting it, man. I'm not even getting to my notes. Oh, I'm pretty good. I don't know if I'm going to get through this whole message. All right, next one. I'm sorry. I got to keep it light, folks. We keep it light. We keep the kids laughing as much as we can. So the next one is part of our identity, right? We've talked about a lot of things: smart, strong, chosen, believer. Well, what comes with a lot of that stuff? You also have to proclaim that you are merciful and quick to forgive. This can keep us so far outside the will of God if we are unforgiving and unmerciful when our Father is merciful and quick to forgive. Yes, I said and not thank you, Ethan. So I am merciful and quick to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, like all this is in God's Word translation. If you're looking for the right translation, I use God's Word for most of them. It's just the translation I like. It kind of reads Wisconsinite for me, so that's cool. I was born in Wisconsin. Thank you. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to each other. God, if we could only really get a hold of that one, right? If the world could just get a hold of being kind to somebody. Sympathetic, forgiving each other as God has forgiven you through Christ. When someone wrongs you, you forgive them. What are you laughing at? Did I? It's whatever. No, hey, you know what? I'm smart. I am smart. You? Thank you. I will fix it. 2 + 2 = 24. That's right. I thank you guys for this time. I'm going to go home now. I'm just kidding. Well, you know why I put that in there? So you could be merciful and quick to forgive. I can't drop the mic because we don't have another one. So, you know, this is the one that gets everybody. That gets everybody. How many of us at one point of time, don't have to show hands, but how many of us at one point of time have had unforgiveness in our hearts? We've been so wronged by the people closest to us, or we got offended by somebody. It's easy when it's someone we don't know, like, oh yeah, that person's crazy, whatever. But when it's someone close to you and they wrong you, they offend you, it hurts. It hurts deep. It hurts really deep. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we need to be merciful and quick to forgive. Because if we don't forgive them, God can't forgive us. Right? We need that forgiveness from God to make it to the heavenly places. So you need to be merciful and quick to forgive. This is how Miss Kristen talked about walking as Jesus walked, right? I mean, I've had to get on some kids in kids' church. I've had to put them in the hallway because you're not acting right. I've told kids to leave. And they've come back. Why? Because we need to establish merciful and quick to forgive. I was quick to forgive them. I talked to them about what they did wrong, and then it came in, and we loved each other again. That's it. We have to display this to our kids at all times. And that goes for Facebook, too. When you're out on Facebook ranting about somebody who's doing something, be mindful that your words are powerful, even though it's on a social media platform that's very biased. Your words have actions. That's what that's saying. So I am merciful and quick to forgive. Next slide, please. I know this one is probably one of Serena's favorites. I know that she loved to sing Blameless, and it's a great song. It's Blameless. When we are merciful and quick to forgive, we now can say, I am holy without blame. Gosh almighty. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God who gives peace make you holy in every way. Most of the kids have holy genes. They're holy. Look at that. May he keep your whole being, spirit, soul, body, blameless when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Which means we are holy without blame at all times as long as we follow and proclaim God and keep doing what we do, repent for our sins. We talk about repentance a lot with the kids. Michaela, do you remember what repentance means? I'm doing a great job. What is it? And then do what?
Change your ways.
Change your ways, right? You change your behavior, right? Just asking God to, oh God, please forgive me. I need to be holy without blame. But then still go, then go punch your best friend. No, but you can't do that. You ask forgiveness for punching your best friend. You can't just go back and punch him. You got to change your ways. That's the only way you can be called holy without blame is when you follow Christ the way he wants you to follow. So once again, I am, powerful words, holy without blame, proclamation of who you are. Next slide, please. Man, I'm doing good on some time here. We only got like 40 slides to go. This world preaches fear. The devil feeds off of fear. Be afraid. COVID-19, whatever. Right? Be afraid of this. Be afraid of that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Why? I got insurance. I'm good. You just don't tempt God, right? We talked, that's a different message. But there's no point to be fear. What are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of this test. Why? You're smart. Well, I'm afraid of that kid in school. Just go pray for him. I am fearless. Now, that doesn't mean I am reckless. But I am fearless, which means I walk in because my strength resides in the Lord, right? Joshua 1:9, I have commanded you to be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be terrified because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's right there. He's right there. Michaela, how do we know Jesus is in our heart? You're not saying it? Okay, that's a kids' church thing, right? You want to say it, Ethan? Why is Jesus in our heart?
He helps us whenever we need help.
That's not what we say in church. That's good. That's good. He ain't going to say what? Makes you want to fart. You're all looking at me crazy, right? It's exactly. I don't care, but the kids remembered it. That Jesus is in our heart. Why? Because we got to fart. That's right. It's silly, but they remember it. Doesn't matter, right? You got to get these kids, it's in them. And if you make it a joke, not a joke, God's not a joke, I get that, right? But if you make it funny and lively, they remember things. We talk about this stuff. And their kids. Who doesn't like boogers and all that stuff? It's all fun for boys and girls. It's fun. Like, wow. So I am fearless. I'm going to get kicked off of here really quick. This is my last service. Like, you're not kids pastor anymore. but I am fearless. We are strong and courageous, which means we are not afraid to go to school and talk to somebody. We're not afraid to tell anybody about God. We're not afraid to do anything. I'm actually courageous because I am able to go out in the public. I'm able to stand up in front of adult people and talk. I'm able to do things that God called me to do because I know He is inside of me. Period. I am fearless. I am able to sing in front of everybody. When I was, yeah, you want me to sing? You know, no. Church would shut down. You keep me in the cage, I'm okay. So I am fearless. Next slide, please. Is anybody getting this? Like, is this good? Like, I'm just kind of like, I just kind of threw this together last night. I'm just kidding. This was my favorite TJ moment on the video. When he said, I am powerful. Like he said it in the video. It was awesome. I am powerful. In kids' church, we don't talk about just preaching the message. It's not just words. There's power associated with those words. There's power that resides in you. There's power in the blood of Jesus that runs through your veins because you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. They're to call out God in the world so people can be saved. 2 Peter 1:3 says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. This power was given to us through knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity, which means God called you by your own name. Come on. Man, I love my Father. So I am powerful. That means you are supposed to be doing something with that power, not just sitting in your cubicle at work doing nothing. Okay, I'm going to leave now. Okay. I'm not saying none of you guys are, but you see where the world goes, right? Everybody just comes and sits and I love God, but I go to work and I'm like, I love Facebook instead of I love God. So next slide, please. Ooh, I like this one too. How many of us can see in the dark? Ethan? Roger? I believe it, Fisher. I believe it. So, I am light in a dark place. This is a metaphor, I believe. I believe it's a metaphor. Acts 26:18, you will open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from Satan's control to God's. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and share among God's people who are made holy by believing in me. So once again, we go back to holy without blame because we're believers. But how do they get there? Yes, they get there because you were strong and courageous and powerful and smart and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he brought you out of darkness into light. Now you go help other people come out of darkness into light. You are shining for God. You have an aura around you. Some of us have a smell aura around us. That's me. It's cool. I don't shower, whatever. But some of us have a light aura around us. That's what we are called to do. We go light up the room with our beautiful smiles, except for Jessica. I'm just kidding. With our beautiful smiles, with our acts of kindness. The act to say, hey, you look nice today. Thank you for coming. Nice to meet you. You know, little things like that. Little things make big things. Thank you, Ethan. The biggest thing I took away from this with the kids is Satan's control is dark. Who loves to sit in a dark room? Kristen loves to nap. So I'm understanding why that's her hobby is napping. So she lives in dark rooms. It's okay. But I want to be in light. I want to be in the public. I want to be out there telling everybody about God. I want to be the light that brightens somebody's day. I want to put a smile on somebody's face. Right? Why? Anybody ever call my phone and listen to my voicemail? It hasn't changed for 2.5 years. It says, be the reason somebody smiles today. Even if it's just someone you go up there and say, hey, nice shoes. I like those. Roger, you're the man. I love you. You know, Greg, you're awesome. Just not at golf, but you're awesome. It's just little things like that of being kind. You are light in a dark place. You guys kind of see why I broke this up into 6 weeks for the kids, right? They'd be like, half of them be sleeping right now. They'd be like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. All right, next slide, please. I heard that. So as we are light in a dark place, no one listened to Greg. I'm just kidding. The next one is, I am more than a conqueror. I think I spelled that one right, Allison, did I? Yeah, okay. I am more than a conqueror. John 14:12, I can guarantee this truth. Those who what? Believe in me will do the things that I am doing. Jessica, what are those things? Miracles, wonders, all things. They will do greater things because I am going to the Father. Basically, this is when Jesus ascended to the Father and he says, you're going to do greater things than I did. You're supposed to raise the dead. You're supposed to heal the sick. You're supposed to drop those crutches and run out of the building. You're supposed to cast out demons. You are supposed to do it. You will do greater works than God or Jesus on this earth because he gave us the power to do it. It just resides in you. All you got to do is believe. All you have to do is believe in God. And proclaim that he is the one true king of your life. Period. And just follow him. If God says go to that door, you go to that door. If he says lay hands on that person, you just go shun dun da boom. But don't you listen to how he wants you to do it. Just don't go smacking people. Say, God told me to smack people. Jessica does that to me all the time. She's like, hey, Jeremy. But God did not tell you to do that, okay? Sometimes he does. But you are supposed to do more things. Why? Because you believe. And I get that doubt creeps into our hearts. It says that somewhere in the Bible. I can't remember what scripture, but it's in there. It says, "Sir," it says, God, help me with my unbelief. Let me believe that this will be done. When God healed Maddie in service, I tell you that the doubt was creeping in. But he showed me a vision of how to do it. I'll give you that quick story. She walked in on crutches. I said, oh, no, bro. Absolutely not. And I wanted to teach the kids that they can do this. So I had Maddie sit in the middle. We had worship music going because I do a lot more with worship. I love praise and worship. Music just speaks to me. I had all the kids surround her on the four square. And we just started worshiping. And Maddie's in the center. Boy, you felt the Spirit heavy. Oh, my God, the Spirit was heavy. And I said, all right, kids, everybody jump on Maddie and just get your hands on her. Boy, that power was so strong. Them crutches flew down. She stood up. She started jumping around, walking around. Holy buckets. It was awesome. Why can we do that? Because we believe. We teach our children that God is in them and they should believe and cast out any doubt because doubt is from the devil. So I am more than a conqueror. The world will tell you different. The world will tell you you're not good enough. School will tell you you're not smart enough. They're going to tell you a bunch of crap, and you're going to say, absolutely not. Why? I'm strong. I am smart. I am more than a conqueror. I am holy without blame. I am merciful and quick to forgive. I am a believer in the one true King. I don't know where I'm at. Next slide, please. Whew. All right, final slide. To me, this is the most powerful one. Because without any of those other ones, you are not this. Who built this building? I don't know. Some random guys, right? Or some gals. Some random people. What would happen if this building fell down right now? That's probably, if we were not in it, Ethan, thank you for, right? I wanted to make this point because I've been praying about this for last week, how I wanted to close this message out. Who built this building? people. Who built you? Who's the church? This is a stupid building where we just get to come and hang out with each other because we love each other and get word from our pastors, get word from God through our pastors, as our pastors are just vessels for God. This is a stupid building. If it fell down today, we'll just go to the next building. Heck, we'll go to a parking lot when they try to shut us down. Who's the church? We. You are an individual church. You are an individual church. You are an individual church. Everybody is an individual church. What is church? Tell them the good news. That's it. Just talking and walking Christ. Period. It doesn't need a building with lights and amazingly handsome children's pastor drummer. It does not need any of that. It does not. The church is you. And He's just called you to go out and do something. Get out there and talk about Christ. Save people. Fix the hungry. Or fix the broken. Feed the hungry. Or whatever. So I close with Ephesians 2:19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ Himself was the cornerstone of your faith. That's who our power comes from what He did. God, if you're not getting this, I'm sorry. Come see me afterwards and I'll lay hands on you. I promise you. I encourage you guys to proclaim these every day. At least one of them. We have mirror talk in kids' church. If you want to grab a copy, come grab a copy. Put it on your mirror. Hopefully there's no toothpaste on your mirror, but if there is, cool. I don't care. Put toothpaste up on it. Right? In the morning bathroom when you're getting ready and getting all dialed up, you know what? Thank you, God, for making me so awesome today. Thank you, God, for giving me the courage to go and be somebody's light today. Thank you, God, for my opportunity to share your good news. Why? Because I'm the church. I'm the church. The people who stand up here and preach were just called by God to spread the message. God is the pastor of this church. Why? Because all the pastors and leaders and even you guys are just vessels for Christ, which means you're the church. The veil was torn for a reason. So we no longer have to go to anybody but Him. And that power is inside of us. Amen. I don't know how to close it out. I did good on time. Oh, you want me to pray? Bless this food, Father. Amen. Oh, if we could all please rise. Everyone rise. All rise for the honorable. Just kidding. So I want to close with this. If you want to support, if you want to get involved in Kids Church, be a part of a legacy of building God's nation. Over here you have a booth or a table set up with Move, a little bit of information with Move and how they are moving mountains and teaching kids how to move mountains. And over here is Susan on the table. That's Susan, by the way, and the Powerhouse board. We got some brochures. If you're a new parent or want to be a parent or something and want to understand about the ministry, we have things over there. If you want to learn how to support either ministries, Matt and Allison will be up here with us along with Chris. So please come on up here. We'll be up here for at least 3 minutes, and then it's lunchtime. So I'm going to close this out in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for today, Father. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to just be in your presence. We thank you for the opportunity to go out and preach your word, Father. We ask that you bless this week, Father. Give us someone to change the life in this week, Father. Use us as a vessel. If you haven't been a vessel in the past and you want to be a vessel, we'll be up here to help you be that vessel. God, we just love you. I don't know what more to say, but I love you, Father. I ask that you bless this congregation, Father. I ask that you bless congregations across the world, Father, who are preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I ask that you just give us all the courage and the strength, because we know that you reside in us, to just be good stewards of your word, Father, and just awesome Christians. We love you. We worship you. And in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.